Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the biggest trick that the enemy played to the church, the biggest lie he tells the church, the trick he played them, is to make things which are supposed to be part of men's docket, and he made them be God's docket. In other words, things which men are supposed to do, he tells them God is supposed to do it. And so, rather than men actually doing things which God has put in their power to do, they end up spending time pleading to God, crying out to God, and you hear them in prayer mountains, cry to the Lord, cry to Him, kabidi amkama, and like they make God look like a very hard man, that you have to cry so hard for Him to be moved. So if He's not moved, cry harder and harder and harder, and the devil has lied them. It is all in their power to do, but they have turned it over to God. And now God is actually helpless, because when He delegates power, He does not take it back. So He cannot take back power which He has given to man. You know, there was a story which was told by some man of God who has since gone to be with the Lord, that one day Jesus appeared to him, and He entered his bedroom, pulled a chair and sat next to him and started telling him certain things. And He was telling him so many things. Then as the Lord was speaking to him, a demon came and put an envelope between Jesus and this man, to the extent that now he was struggling to hear what Jesus was saying. And Jesus just continued talking. So this man waited for Jesus to do something, and Jesus did nothing. But he continued talking. So when he realized that he was missing out on what the Lord was saying, suddenly he just said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out." And he said he saw it, the demon rub like a monkey, like an imp. And it went squealing, went away and disappeared. Then he asked Jesus, "Why did you chase it away?" Jesus said, "I gave you that power, I cannot take it back. It is with you, I cannot chase the devil." You see, there is no contest between the Lord and the devil. There was when He was a man. When Jesus was on earth, He overcame the devil. He encountered the devil and overcame him as a man. But you see, now He's God. There is no contest between Him and the devil. You understand? Actually, some of the temptations of the devil of turn this stone into bread was actually to get Jesus. You see, I want you to know this. Jesus had the ability to summon His God powers anytime at will. But if He had done it, He would have lost. He came to defeat the devil as a man, not as God. Because as God, there is no contest, you understand? So He had to come in the flesh and defeat the devil completely in the flesh. That's why the scripture says there is only one mediator between God and man. And it says the man, Jesus Christ. The man, the mediator is the man, not God, man. You see? Now, when He came here in the flesh, born of a woman, like all of us, then He defeated the devil. And then He handed the victory to us. Now He goes and is God. He cannot fight the devil. He's God. You understand? In His God, that's why the devil will tell Him, turn these stones. So what He's trying to tempt Him to do is to tempt Him to do something as God, not as man. You see? Eh? Now, when He does something as God, then the devil says, man never defeated me. But you see, man defeated Him. The man Jesus Christ. You understand? That's why it says in the scripture that every spirit that confesses that Jesus came in the flesh is the spirit of God. the devil can never confess that Jesus came in the flesh, because he's confessing that he was beaten by a man. You see, eh? And goes against everything he stands for. That would be tearing down his own throne. So now even, I remember Spirit of God would say, even if any spirit that would appear to him, he asks it, did Jesus come in the flesh? If it is a demonic spirit, it can never say yes. Never. Impossible. I don't know what I would say. It's like, because everything he deceives people is that man cannot beat him. So if Jesus came in the flesh, then he was defeated in the flesh by a man who was in the flesh. So now, how did I even get there? My point is this. By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. There is no spirit that can, of demonic spirit, that can say Jesus came in the flesh. Why is it so difficult for, why is it impossible for them to say Jesus came in the flesh? I've told you why. Because in the flesh, the devil doesn't mind saying he was defeated by God, because of course he was created by God. But he minds saying he was defeated by a man. And Jesus came and defeated him as a man. You see, eh? Now, what point was I making? What was I saying? I really went off the muramu, eh? But my point is this. There are things which now Jesus handed over that to us. Now, he cannot come and chase the devil. That's a mismatch. Who chases the devil? Man. In his name. Okay? Enforcing his victory. But he cannot do it himself. So now, he told that man that if he had not chased him away, I couldn't chase him away. Then he asked him, you mean you wouldn't? He said, no, I didn't say I wouldn't. I say I couldn't. Because you see, once he gives it, he cannot take it back. So he gives, you know, he cannot take it. So he did not say I wouldn't. He said I could not chase him away. So here's my point. Now, all the people who are suffering frustration somewhere, crying out to God, God do this, God do that, it is all because the devil has deceived them, that things which they are supposed to do are supposed to be done by God. So they have passed it over to him. And God is frustrated. He's saying, you have the ability to do it. I gave you all that. And I cannot take it back. You see now, people don't understand that the spirit world operates by laws, just like the natural world. And those laws cannot be violated. Everything is set in law. Everything in the spiritual world is set in law. Okay? So just like the natural world has its laws, the spiritual world has its laws. And everything is set in laws. And the purpose of the scripture is to tell us what those laws are, so that we operate by those laws of the spirit and have victory by them. Unfortunately, of course, people turn it to religious texts, but it is to tell us the laws of the spirit. And so now, you find people frustrated somewhere in prayer mountains and what, crying out to God, God help us do this. And God is saying, I can't help you. You have the power. That is in your, you know, in your docket, not mine. Praise the Lord. Now, when people, we are not going to have people like that in ministries like this. Praise the Lord. Because for us here, I teach you that you have the power to affect your life positively and make it whatever you want it to be. Praise the Lord. You have all the raw material. It was given to you by God. You have all the material. There is nothing else he is left to do. The only thing the Bible says God is yet to do is save our bodies and give us resurrection bodies. That's all. That's the one thing which is pending. Everything else, as far as is concerned, was done. So now, you cry out to God. And see, sometimes God has to remind us these things. I remember sometime the Lord reminded me when I was going through frustration, and it was of a financial nature. So I was saying, God, I need the financial. Then he reminded me that, just reminded me, that if you see something not working out financially, it has nothing to do with me. As far as I'm concerned, I want you to be prosperous and have everything. You find out what it is, what the problem is. It is never me. Praise the Lord. It is never who? It is never the Lord. If something is not working out, it is never him. And now you see the classic tactic of the enemy is to come and hit you and put it on God. Because then you will not fight back. But now if you fought back, you'd defeat the devil. So he comes and hits your finances and says, you know, it's because of this, because of that, because of that. And you're actually convinced that God is punishing you for something. He has convinced people somewhere, elsewhere. There are people convinced, for instance, Baptists, who are convinced that sometimes God gives people sickness to humble them because they are very proud. Okay? So he gives them some sickness to humble them. And they call it a thorn in the flesh. That is all rubbish. God cannot give what he does not have. There is no sickness in heaven. He does not have it. I cannot give you $10 million because I don't have it. You see, eh? Even if I wanted to. Now, God, even if he wanted to give you sickness, it's not anywhere in his store. Even if something happened and for some reason he wanted to give you sickness, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the ability to give it to you because where he exists, it's not there. There's somewhere else where it exists. Neither does he have poverty where he is. So he cannot even give you poverty to punish you. Somebody else is the one punishing you and saying it's God. Praise the Lord. So then, that time I said, now let me find out who is stealing my what? My money. Because God is releasing it as far as he's concerned. Reminds me of that man called, what was he called? Austin. What was he called? John Austin. John Austin, who said that he had a church and they had a church meeting and they wanted to have bull roasting, and his ministry was small, so he prayed and believed God for 2 bulls so that his church can have bull roasting and, you know, celebrate something. So he was believing God for 2 bulls for slaughtering. Then he prayed. As time went on, the bulls did not come. Then as the day approached, somebody came and told him, but instead of believing God for bulls, why don't you just buy meat? Then he said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let us buy meat. So they went and bought meat and they did the bull roasting. Then he said he had a dream, and in the dream there was a python which had swallowed 2 bulls. Now, the message was, when you asked for the bulls, God released them and they were coming. The devil deceived you and he swallowed them. That is true for everything. The scripture says, whatsoever you ask for according to his will, he hears your prayers. And if he hears your prayers, he has done it. But in translating it from that realm to this realm, there is a requirement of faith. Okay? Now, in between there, the devil goes and steals. Now, all the wealth that the wicked people have is the wealth that you people pray for, and the devil steals and gives to his people. Otherwise, they would be very broke and all the wealth would be here. Praise the Lord. let me tell you, there is a way. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So what's his will? His will is in the scripture. Does he will that you have bulls to roast for your church? Of course. You see? Does he will that you're rich? Yes, he says that in his Bible. In the scripture. Does he, all those things, all the good things, every good and perfect gift comes from where? From the Lord. Now, he wills all those things. The trouble is from the other realm to this realm, there is a buffer of faith where you have to believe and you have to stick to it. And stick to. Now, what the message from that man's dream was, the bulls were coming. Somebody told you to give up and you lost them to the devil. And the devil sometimes uses people who come and give you counsel, fake counsel. You know that's not going to happen. Instead of believing for that, why don't you instead do this? Instead of doing that, why don't you do this? And you listen to them and the devil comes and steals your thing. And if you were to also dream, you dream when the devil, that python has swallowed houses, it has swallowed cars, it has swallowed Range Rovers, it has swallowed what? What has it swallowed of yours? Nothing. So you are comfortable, you have everything you need. That same python has swallowed so many things and it is there getting full. The trouble is it goes and spits those things out in the world. Praise the Lord. Now you have to know that there is nothing good that God wants to withhold from you. Amen? But there are rules by which that thing comes. Now the purpose of us coming here to learn is that you know those rules and you apply them and then you have whatever you want the way God wants you to have them. Wants you to have it. Of course, after that dream, that man became a man of faith. John Austin. And after that man, you could not mess him up because he knew. He knew what he was, you know, what he was up to. And I don't know. There's another story I wanted to tell, but I think I've kind of forgotten it. So let's move on to scripture. Anyway, so if people know where God, what is supposed to be God's duty, responsibility, and what is yours, then you would not cry to God when you can command. Let me tell you, faith does not plead. Faith commands. Eh? Do you know the scripture says that, command ye me concerning my works? Doesn't it say that? God saying, command me concerning my what? My works. Faith does not plead. Once you're pleading, you're not in faith. Faith comes from is a language of I deserve this because somebody purchased it for me. That's it. Ask me of things to come. And concerning the work of my hands, command me. Concerning the works of his hands, you command me. You leave that scripture there. I'm seeing some people are writing it down because they didn't even know it existed. Okay? But you see, faith does not plead. Once you're pleading, just know you're not in faith. God, please do this. That's religion. If God has promised it in his word, then you are absolutely deserving of it. You don't plead. You state by faith, this is what I expect, and you get it. Praise the Lord. But now, of course, there is also other reasons why people do not receive what is due to them. And the major one, by the way, is we are not instructed. Because there is a path to what you want. And that path is full of instructions of God. And you have to learn how to be instructed of the Lord. You really have to learn. By the way, let me tell you, if you are going to be a part of this end time financial glory, which is now like simmering around about to explode, you have to learn how to be instructed. Because I remember my brother told me that he used to be here and used to go to the prayer mountain to pray. And then he finds people who are stuck praying. And it's not that they pray. You cannot accuse them of being prayerless. But their life is stagnant. Totally stagnant. Then when he speaks to them, and he says the Lord this, then this person comes and tells him this. Then you try to instruct him, even just using your scripture knowledge, even without, you know, the word, a rhema word from God. And you see the person putting up like a resistance, like digging in. And he wants something from God on his terms. God, if it's not, I want it like this, either like this or don't, you know. And he told me, actually my brother told me this, the one characteristic of all those people who are who stagnate, the biggest characteristic they have is they are unteachable. They cannot be taught. Because every improvement, every whatever comes by the teaching, instruction of God. Jeremiah 6:8 says, be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul departs from you. Okay? Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you a desolate, a land not inhabited. Now, you can actually, even in this world, there are people whom you can describe as desolate. You look into their life and it is totally desolate. There is nothing good happening. And they are believers, children of God. And the one thing that is lacking is there is an instruction that has not been followed. Now, let me tell you this. Every time you find yourself in a quagmire and you are not moving forward and you have stagnated, and your stagnation leads to frustration, and frustration leads to retrogression. Every time you find yourself in that place, go back, rewind, and see what instruction God gave you which you did not follow. There is always one. There is always one instruction which you got which you did not follow. One like this. I remember the other time, just recently, I met a man of God. A good man, a very good man of God. He and, you know, he's... So I just went to a restaurant, to have a cup of coffee, and I met him there. But initially, I had met him in court. I'd gone to court for my things. Then I meet the guy there. So I tell him, what are you doing here? He says that some guy robbed him clean, close to $1 billion. The guy came and put up some story and, you know, how supposed to get him some, TV machinery, what he's going to set up for him, a TV, and all. Some lovely, wonderful things. And he cleaned him out for close to $1 billion. So the man had taken him out, had taken him to court. But you know, you never get justice from court. Eh? Like nothing comes out. Those people, they are sentenced and they keep the money and they go and serve their time and then they come out and be rich. All they have lost is a little inflation. But they will not give it out. And I know they do that a lot. So they clean you out properly. They go, they get maybe 9 months, maybe 1 year. They say, cool. They go and serve their time and come out. So the man was there frustrated, in court. Then I met him again here. And he was telling me how I thought nobody could feather me because I have grown up in this city. I know everything about this city. He said that even when people would come and tell me they feathered them, I say, how can they feather you? What? But they had just cleaned him out properly. Eh? So he said, now I realized this feather does not have what? But does not have expertise. You can't be too much of an expert that they can't confirm you. There are people who are good. Eh? Like they are anointed with the, you know, with the tongue of a wasp. They will make you bring money even when you don't have it. And I've seen, and some, for some reason they like pastors. Because I think, anyway, praise the Lord. But there's something he told me which was so interesting. Because now this is what actually caught my attention. Because it was a very sad story. This is what caught my attention. He told me that when he had just given the man the first batch of the money, maybe around 200 million, he was having dreams, constant dreams. Like he was having dreams when they are stealing. You know, you dream when somebody comes, breaks into your house and is stealing. And he said that he would wake up in the morning and break the demon. The demon was... there was no demon to break. You know, Morocco like breaking demons. So many times these instructions are to tell you what to do. To warn you. If you do not get the fullness of the instruction, the prayer does not help. What the dreams were telling him is that they are robbing you. Stop. Now, when he was going to give the last batch of money, after I'd even sold his car and what and everything, he had a very nice car. After, on top of all the dreams, now you know that God can read. Let me tell you something. God warns us. Never blame him. If they could fear you, never. He warns you in so many ways. Like this man said, the truth is, I was dreaming every night. You're dreaming when people are breaking. Different ways of God telling you the same thing. They are robbing you. But still, because your mind is set and you're obstinate and you've decided this is a good opportunity and this person is telling you, hurry up. If you don't bring, somebody else is going to take them. And by the way, one thing I also learned, when people start putting you under pressure, then you know there's something wrong. Now even using headlines, when somebody starts telling me that, I tell him, you give it to them. You leave me alone. Because now you know that there's something. If somebody has something so precious, he doesn't have to go, you know, putting people under pressure to get it. Anyway, but let me not bring head knowledge. Because head knowledge did not save this man. I do not save you. Eh? But if he had been instructed, but and I felt so because I dreamt. Now at the very last, when God failed to warn him, God decided to go through his son. His own son, his biological son. The son came and told him, Mzee, ono msajja akubba. Don't give him that money. The man is lying. He's lying. The son came and said, don't. That man is lying. The guy said, ah, you young people don't know what you're talking about. You know when, by the way, let me tell you, we are very difficult people. And we thank God for his mercies. Eh? Because after you've done that, you run back to God and he says, okay, let us start afresh. But he has warned you so many times and you refuse to be instructed. And now you're desolate. Anyway, so the son even got the money away from where the father had put it and went and hid it. Because for him, he was so sure this man is fake. The father told him, is it your money? So the boy reluctantly handed over the money, and the other man, they were young, while they are taking the things. If you don't bring now, this is your, the guy handed over. As soon as this man realized that, the Mufere realized he had cleaned him out, they even laugh in your face. Then you say, you do what you want. Then you go to court, what? He doesn't care. Anyway, my point is this. Now, how many people here can say we do not receive his word? Now, the thing is, the instruction comes, but because you've made up your mind, you make the instruction be what you want it to be. So you want it to be the devil is stealing. No, it's not the devil, it's that man. Because he told me the guy used to work for him. He would send him for something and even brings back change of 100 shillings. Kumbe is building trust. Some people are clever. And they have long-term targets. Like the guy, you know where he worked with him for years. And he has never defaulted you of even a change of 500, you bring the chinuso and put it where? There and say, this is there. So this man said, no, this man cannot. Woo, he cleaned him out properly. Properly. And it was so sad. And the man told me the story and I felt so bad. Because everything, by the calculation of that money, now he would be somewhere glorious. But anyway, my point is this. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. And now I'll tell you this. A lot of the times, the instruction comes in the, like, for everybody, for the most part, so many times, it will come through dreams. Dreams are the easiest way of God getting to you. Because there, your mind is asleep, and he can communicate something to you without you getting in the way of it. Job, chapter 30, start with chapter 22, verse 21. Job 22:21. It says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. Go ahead. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Okay? If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You remove iniquity from your tents. Now he's saying, go to verse 22, he says what? Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in his... Now receive instruction from his mouth all the time. How do you receive it? You be ready for it and you be in neutral gear. Now the reason people don't receive instruction is they have made up their mind and they go to God to ask for instruction when their mind is made up. And they have put in reverse gear or in drive, and God cannot put them in reverse. Now, if you go there when you've said whichever direction the Lord puts me, I'm in neutral. If he wants me to go forward, I'll go forward. If he wants me to go back, I'll go back. Now, if you do that, you'll actually receive instruction from me. Go to Job chapter 33. Job 33, I think 15, verse 15. It says, start from 14, we see. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet a man does not perceive it. Praise the Lord. A man does not do what? He doesn't say the man does not hear, because we hear. That man heard. he saw that they were stealing from him. But he would wake up and break demons. And you don't take the... And the instruction is to do something different. And sometimes you may not miss out on this because you've not decided to search out the matter and say, what does this dream actually mean? What does it require of me to do? Why am I, you know, having this dream? Now, if you actually go and take time to search it out, you'll get the real answer and exactly what you're supposed to do. The exact thing you're supposed to do. Now, if he had actually taken time, if his mind wasn't so made up, I'm just using him as an example, unfortunately. If his mind wasn't totally made up and he woke up and said, what is the meaning of this? Let me go and pray about it. He would have known not to go hide with that thing. Anyway, so he says, God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction when they are asleep. But now here is the problem. So many times you get a dream and you know what it is about generally, but you do not get specifically what it is saying, what it requires of you. Some dreams might require you to pray and break a spirit which has invaded you. Some might require to take an action. Okay, where there are no spirits to be broken, there is an action. Go and do this. Some might require you to step away from somebody. Some might be warning you about something coming ahead and so on. But you see, in the dream format, you will get the general outline of what God is speaking to you about. The specifics, you have to actually pray with that dream in mind. And you see, don't take that thing lightly. Because in taking those things lightly is where all the troubles come. And then you hit yourself on the wall and then you come and you've been cleaned out like that man. And it's so sad for something, things you've worked hard for, and somehow some man just comes and cleans you. So at that point, that's when you have to, when you're having those dreams, wake up in the morning and say, what is the instruction of God? I'm having these dreams about this thing. What is the instruction of God? I've had so many dreams which required. There's one which I had where I was going round and round about like this. Round about like this. But I was with somebody. Now you see, you have to find out if something appears in a dream, somebody appears specific, and it was clear in the dream. They are not. It's not usually for nothing. You see, that person has a connection to what the dream is about, for the most part. If it has nothing to do with that person, usually you can remember I was with somebody and don't remember who the person is. Hasn't that happened to you? Yeah. Now that means the person wasn't important. The message is in the other things. But if the person, if I dream when I'm with Akena and we're moving, and I know in the dream we're moving with Akena, there's a reason why I'm dreaming Akena. Okay? Now, it might, like, there has to be some. Now, I dreamt when I was going round and round about like this. With one guy. Then we'd go round, then go round, then go round. I knew him. He was my friend. And we had been starting some businesses together and they would collapse. And he was my friend and we're going. So I woke up and I prayed about it. And then the instruction was that that guy was sent by the devil to waste your time. Because we'd start a business and I plow 1 year into it with all my heart and soul, then it collapses. Then we start another one. Now, meanwhile, the devil is a master of playing time. You see, eh? So now the instruction was that guy is in your life to waste your time. But I got the instruction not from the dream. I got the instruction from praying about the dream. Okay? So I prayed about it and that was the instruction. Now, what I did, I started distancing myself from him. And eventually, I totally cut myself off him, totally. And when I did, he remained going around and around about it, because every day you would be starting a new business and it collapses. Now, meanwhile, when I cut myself off him, that's when I started growing. And, my life started taking shape. Now, If I had just said, hey, why am I dreaming this person? And that's what happens to so many people. When the instruction is not sealed, and usually because you've made up your mind you want something, and you don't allow God to instruct you. Amen? So now, I would probably not steal. It's so many years ago. Honestly, even somebody has. I can't be that stupid. At some stage, I would have what? And I would have found out. But the reality is that I got it. I got what the dream meant. I cut him off. Now, sometimes dreams require action like that. I cut him off. Off he went. And that's it. Then I started seeing progress in my life. Some other times, it's actually breaking what that man was doing. Breaking some museum and what? Because the devil has entered your space and is trying to do what? And so on. But by the time I started growing up in the spirit, it could no longer be the devil. Because I had him where he is supposed to be. Now, when the enemy sees you have the devil where he's supposed to be, you use a person. Because people can come and play on your psyche and play on your sympathy and what you see. Eh? But if the devil came, you would know this is the devil and you would put him in his place. But now somebody will come as your friend. Now, that guy whom I dreamt about, I cannot tell you I've known of somebody who is better, somebody with better character. The guy who I was going round about with. Very nice person. Somebody who you would never fault for anything. A very, very good man. But the devil had brought him zero. Just to waste your time. Then 1 year goes, then the second year goes, the next year. And you're stagnating. Now, if the instruction comes and you do not follow it, then you continue stagnating. And you become frustrated. Then you start passing it on to God. But God, what did I do? Nothing is working out. What? And just to rewind, you'll see there is an instruction. If you've forgotten it, after today, tell him that now, God, give me another one. Now I've opened my ears. I am going to listen. My ears are open to instruction. And my heart is ready for instruction. If I've missed it somewhere, now just give me another one. This time I have, my heart is set, I'm going to. And I'm telling you, you'll get it. You get the instruction, and you do it, and therein will be your prosperity. Praise the Lord. Now it says here, it says, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. When they are asleep, then go ahead to say, verse 17, then it says, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. Now, you see, the reason instructions are different. Do you not make somebody decide, no, this is what I want? It's pride. You stick your foot, you know, you dig in, dig your feet in like a donkey or an ass. Right? And what? And you say, I'm not going, this I've decided I want to, this is what I decided, this is what I want to do. And now God is powerless. By the way, he's totally powerless. And he knows, he sees you walking into a ditch. Like that man of God. He sees you walking into a ditch and he's powerless. He can't, he has tried, he even uses your son. Your son even hides the money. You say, you man, is it your money? You get it and give it away. Then God says, now I'm defeated. There's nothing. I tried my best. Praise the Lord. Now that's how, now that is every one of us. Then you cannot get into a ditch unless God has warned you so many times. So if you see you're dreaming about the same thing once, twice, don't force a matter. Don't force it. Just learn how to be, make yourself sensitive. Sometimes in small things, should I not? Then you feel a strong thing, don't say it. Don't say it. Okay? And then you just decide not to say it. And then now you're becoming sharper and sharper. Every time there are those small instructions of don't say it. You start a sentence and then you feel the Spirit saying, don't say that. Then you say, ah, no, no. Then you confuse, you know. It happens a lot. Sometimes even at home, I'm starting telling my wife something. Then immediately I feel the Spirit say, don't. Then I change the subject. They say, what were you saying? I say, ah, nothing. You know what? You see? What? See, what is it? And you try to, but anyway, eventually she learned that once I feel the nudge that don't say it, I will not, because sometimes you will force to say it. And you know that you're forcing. And you know that that thing has, that check has come. Don't say that thing. Now, there was a time, and now, when you force it, there was a time I met somebody. I was moving somebody who was, you know, people are, you can choose to be, when your mind is blocked, you can easily be deceived. So you learn how to open your mind. So some time ago, I was moving with this guy, and he was spying on me. But he was supposed to be my friend. But then I met a certain man of God somewhere in up country. So the man of God would start telling me something, then he stops. Then he starts, then he stops. Then he starts from Guru. Then after some time when I went and told him, do you know this guy was a spy? He said, I knew, because every time I would want to tell you something sensitive, I would feel the spirit telling me don't, because I would be with this guy. The guy said, I knew. I said, how did you know? He said, every time I was trying to tell you something sensitive, I would just feel the spirit telling me don't. Then he starts, then he stops. Then you have to sieve through everything. Now for me, because I was convinced this guy is my friend and you know, I wasn't seeing that. But now somebody from outside, who is not part of you and who is not part of him, for him he just says, why am I being stopped by the Holy Spirit from saying things to this when this guy is around? So for him, he somehow suspected, but he didn't know for sure. So he just decided to keep quiet. So when I would be alone, he would tell me certain things. When I come with this guy, he's very quiet. You say things, he says, hey, okay. Then he laughs, then he looks the other side, then he says, what happened to this guy? And he does not trust this person just by the fact that every time he's trying to say something, he says, to conceal pride. Now it is pride which makes people refuse and say, I am going to do this. This is what I am going to do. Whatever the spirit says, I'm going to do it. And then they go and do it. And you see, when people have made up their mind, they will come to inquire something, and you see they have made up their mind completely. Now there's somebody who came, somebody told me, a woman of God came and told me, some lady came and told her that somebody has proposed to me. Should I not? So, she says, but you see, he has proposed to me and what, you see what? But you see, okay, he has 5 children from 5 different women and he's expecting a 6th one from another one who is staying with, who is pregnant. But he says, God is saying we get married. Now, that one, that one has made up their mind. If you waste your time telling them, like how can you and let me tell you then now when it comes to women and marriage, my God, when they have made up their mind, don't enter there. They will hate you for no reason. By the way, certain man of God told me some lady came to him, she had her wedding that weekend. That very weekend, he told her, he was sure. Sometimes you see some things. Sometimes you're sure what you've seen. Sometimes you're not so sure, so you'll just be on the edge. But sometimes you know, and you've known in the spirit. He told her, cancel that wedding. Don't get into that wedding. The woman said, what? You're even a false whatever. Oh, I've even bought my wedding dress. What? So immediately you say that, you regret why you said it. But sometimes you've seen something, you see somebody's going to fall in a ditch, and you're sure, and the human part of you wants to tell them, man, don't go there. Anyway, so the lady went and got married. A very powerful wedding. Then her husband disappeared for 3 months without ever coming home. And after 3 months, he called and told a man. He told her that for him he's a homosexual. He has no interest in a woman whatsoever. When he sees her, he doesn't feel anything. Like nothing. I look at you and nothing in me is moved. So he said, but then she said, why did you marry me? That my parents were putting me under pressure. Now, you think that woman is going to go to the man of God and say,
you were right.
No. Pride does not work like that. You see, eh? Pride stops, stands in the way. She continued insisting that that man is fake. Until after 3 years, then she humbles herself and slowly comes back. Now, there are things which you tell people and you really know that they are going to hate you. But then sometimes, as I said, you are sure. Somebody can come and you look and you know it as clearly as you know that today is Friday. But then you know they are not ready to receive it. Because of what? Pride. Now, you know, pride is what makes somebody make, they have made up their minds, their decision is made. It says that in order to turn man from his deed, okay? And to what? Conceal the pride. Now, the instruction, because the pride is already there, and you've made up your mind, the instruction God has to deliver it in your sleep. Maybe there, you might listen. So at night, you dream. You have this dream. And then you wake up in the morning. And if you don't decide in that short period of time to do what the dream is telling you to do, I am telling you, after like, by afternoon, you'll have convinced yourself the dream wasn't there. That's how pride works. So when you wake up in the morning and you have a clear instruction. Now that guy who the Lord was telling me was sent to waste my time used to help me a lot. I needed him a lot. He used to, somebody whom you can inconvenience and he has absolutely no issues. You never see him angry. He's a very jolly person. But I said, man, whatever it costs me, I'm going to do this. So I made up my mind early and I determined I'm going to cut him off. If I had stayed 1 day or 2 days, I would have said, but maybe the dream is saying I should what? Pray for him. Let me pray for him. And that is the end. 5 years down the road, you are stagnated. You're there. The dream wasn't telling you to pray for him. The dream was telling you to get away from him. Praise the Lord. Now, tough instructions, you do them immediately. Don't wait. If you wake up, the minute you wake up, by not even at night, you wake up to a dream in the middle of the night. Don't. First way to go back to sleep. First, wake up and pray about it and find out what is this dream telling me to do. And when you get the instruction in the dream, determine there and then, that in the morning, this is what I am going to do. I'm going to follow this instruction. And thereafter, you can go back to sleep for the rest of the night. There, I'm telling you, your prosperity cannot be stopped. Amen? Because every time God is instructing you on how he wants to do this, go and do this. Try this out. Look at, listen to all those. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying, one day, the Lord told him, that there was somebody, he told him, there's somebody I promised $500,000 and I told him I was going to give it to him by Friday. So I want you to go and look for $500,000 and go and give it to him. So in all his accounts, he had $300,000. So he got the $300,000 and went and told his friends that the Lord told me to give this man $500,000 by this Friday. So the friends collected money all together. And he made 500,000. And he went and told the man, God told me that he had promised to give you this money by today. So I've brought it. And the man was like, wow. Anyway, now, after that, then he said, not long after, you've cleaned out your account. Then he said God led him to go and buy some apparently useless piece of land. Somewhere in the countryside there in America. So he went and bought a number of acres of land there, which was not expensive and because it had no value. Then soon after, they discovered oil on the land. And I think at the time, the oil explorer, he was supposed to get about a percentage of it there. So that's how he became very rich. And people get very angry. You go and talk to those Baptists about Kenneth Copeland. They are very angry because he has a private jet and what. But he obeyed instruction. For you, you be there with your stupidity. Because God is no respecter of what? Persons. He told some like instruction, you bit by bit, bit by bit. Now go and do this. Then you run and do it. Now go and do this. Sometime down the road, people will see you, and it looks like for you and God, you have dinner together. Just you. Of course, you understand. But you see, it is all down to instruction. So that's now you see somebody that it's that scripture which I read, I think the other Friday when I was preaching, which I also read in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, Isaiah 30, 21. We have Holy Communion, so we are going to finish quickly. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Imagine now this is in the Old Testament, God giving about the new covenant, how he's going to be operating with his children. He says, you're walking and you hear a word saying, the word will not be in your physical ears, but in your spiritual ears. He says, and you hear a word says, take this direction, go there, invest in this, go there. Perhaps you are an investor in stocks. Then he says, buy this stock, do this. Just by obeying instruction. Okay? Now imagine how God can make you a billionaire in a very short time if he could just instruct you. And you listen. Because he knows what stocks are going to go down and what are going to go up, what. You understand? He knows, like you just say, go and do this. Then you listen to instruction. Now do this. Then you listen to instruction. Now instructions come in different formats. Okay? There's that guy who wrote that book, which turned out to be a very, very powerful bestseller. And he said the Lord told him, I want to write a book about this. Then the guy was diddy-darling. And then the Lord told him, by the way, you are not the first choice to write that book. You are the third choice. The first one refused. The second one refused. Now you are the third. If you refuse, I will find another person. Then he finally received instruction and wrote the book. And the book became so big. Sold tens of millions of copies, and he became very rich by receiving what? Instruction. Now imagine how he could turn everyone of us, our lives up on their head and make us something totally different. If you could just master the way of getting through to you, just getting through to you, either in your dream or somehow one way or the other, and you are ready to listen and you say, Lord, I'm going to listen. I am here. Just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. You know, he says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Okay? Verse 22. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away from me. Now he's talking about idols. Now, I'm telling you this, there is a certain knowledge which people have, which is idolatry. And it's idolatry because it stands in the way of what God is telling you. Okay? And like you've made up your mind, I want to go and do a master's. Then God says, no, don't go there. Do this. But master's has become an idol. No. Let me first go and do my what? Master's. This one has become an idol. Now, for some other person, he's telling them, go and do a master's. And they said, no, there's this business. And he's saying, no, first go and do a master's. Said, no. And now you see, all of us have idols in our mind where you've decided, this is for me, this is the path I'm going to take. Okay? Nobody is going to mess me up. This is the path I'm taking. Whatever God says, he has to pass it through this path. I know how I'm going to get rich. So if God does not make me rich through this, I'll decay you. No, you don't say it like that. But in your mind, that's how you think. You see, in your mind, you will only receive something which comes along those lines. If it doesn't come in those lines, you are not interested. Now, that's an idol. Because it's a knowledge that has been formulated in your mind that cannot be tumbled even by the word of God. Now, that has become an idol. That's what it says, you get away the molded images of gold. Now, the images are not actual images of gold like it was in this time. They are actually images in your mind of how things are going to be. And now all of you, if we were to cut into your heads, you have a plan of how you're going to what? How you're going to prosper. It is somewhere in your head. inside there, you have your plan, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to what, get into real estate, then what? You have your plans. Now, then God comes and says, but I want you to go and do a master's. You say, but man, by the time I come back for master's, the real estate market, which then you refuse, and that's an idol. I mean, anything that will, if you are not in neutral gear and you've made up your mind, that's an idol. It says that you'll throw them away as unclean thing. Okay? You will say to them, get away. Now, the time will come where you say, no, I don't want any idols. I have decided now, whatever God tells me to do. By the way, he doesn't have any time. Your plan might be a plan for getting rich in 5 years. He doesn't have that time. For him, he wants it faster than that. Praise the Lord. You think you want it fast? Eh? He wants it fast. But you see, at first, you have to... This is what I'm telling you now. First, you have to commit yourself to receiving instruction and opening up your mind that I want, okay, I am ready for instruction. Praise the Lord. Anyway, says unclean, you will say to them, get away. Next verse. Then it says, then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and bread of increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Now he's talking about, this is what it will take for you to what? Prosper. Now, of course, he's talking about people who keep cattle. Then he says he will give you the rain. Then your cattle will, you know, your cattle will, what does he say? The cattle will what? The bread of increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In other words, then will you prosper. By what? Listening to the voice. Now go in this direction. Now, don't deceive yourself that you don't listen to that. You don't have the ability to hear that voice. Every one of you has the ability. But you can choose to obey or to disobey. And now the Lord, today, is going to give even those who have been disobedient to so many instructions that you've even forgotten them. Today, God is starting afresh. Amen? Now, just say, Lord, my heart is open. Give me instruction and I will follow. I will listen to what you're saying. Amen? And sometime down the road this year, or perhaps next year, then you will see the full fruit of it. When now he can instruct you and say, don't go there. That's not right. That will not be good for you. Take this direction. Don't do this. Take this. Now you have learned the language. Now you are flowing in it. Now you will not get into loss. You cannot be kufera like that. Now, being born in the city, the guy told me, and another pastor told him, now msajja akutide mchibuga bacha kufera. Let me tell you, the only way you can be sure they will not kufera you is by listening to what? Instruction. God will warn you. He will always warn you. Always warn you. If you determine that, and you know, you can get excited about an idea. Eh? You know what I'm saying? Eh? Somebody comes and gives you an idea. And you get excited about it. And you see it working. And now, don't get too excited for it to be an idol. Stop to a place where you can still hear from God. And say, if he says, you say, okay, Kare, it sounded good, but I'm not going. Then there's the other scripture which I'm going to end with, which is in Psalms somewhere. Hmm? But since these people are so good at finding scriptures, it says that, don't be like a what? Like a horse or like a mule. Eh? Which have no understanding. Eh? Which have to be bridled. Eh? Praise the Lord. Of course, it's easier if I know the words. Yeah. So the credit goes to who? Anyway, thank you very much for being sharp. But it says, don't be like a horse or like a mule. What's it called? Mule, eh? Not a mule. Some people like Ronald here would say mule. Okay. then you know that. What? Mother tongue influence. So he says, don't be like a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near. You see, like, they have to be. Now, the Bible doesn't use these descriptions for nothing. If you know what a horse is like, a horse is very easy, very swift. If you ever try to ride a horse, the minute you hit the stomach like this with your legs, it will take off. They are very swift. It stands there. You just try doing like putting your legs, hitting the stomach. It will take off. If you don't know how to stop it, you're in trouble. It will leave you behind. And you don't have to hit it hard, by the way. You just hit, then it starts. Now, if you don't stop it, it is going to go. That's how horses are. That's how some people are. God gives you a big dream, something big, which is not for now. But he is good at giving you big people big dreams, which are so powerful. And now he expects you to go step by step. He's going to give you the instruction of how to go from here to there, to there, to there, and finally to where he's taking you. You understand? Eh? But because you're a horse, like as soon as you take off, you don't even ever come back to him to find out how do you expect me to go there. You just take off, shoo, and you go, and you leave God behind somewhere on the sand. Now, on the other hand, there's the mule. The mule, you try to symbolize, you'll see. It digs its legs in like this, and they will pull it, and it will refuse. Then God is telling you, now move forward. Now, wah, you don't want to know. You see, eh? Now you're a mule, like you. By the way, those donkeys, very, very difficult animals to move. If it decides it's not going anywhere, it will just stand and put its legs in front like this and dig them inside. Now you pull. Even if you pull, how it will not shift. Now some people also like that. Now you've been in some kind of job for so many years, and God wants you to try something else. But because you're a mule, like God has to leave you behind. Now for the horses, they leave God what? Behind. Now don't be any of this. It says do not be like either one of them. Learn how to move at the pace of God. So this step by step. How do you do that? The scripture I just read. A voice in your ear. In your ear, saying, go this direction, go the other direction. Then it goes on to say here, with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near. Go ahead, verse 10. First start from the previous verse. I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I'll do what? No, the first one. I'll do what? Yeah. Then the next one, he says, the next verse, that's where he says, do not be like a horse or like a mule. Now, in receiving of the instruction, he says, I will instruct you. Now it's time to do this. Now it's time for ownership. Now it's time for this. Now it's time to buy out your business partner from that car business and own it yourself. Now it's time to do this. He's instructing you story by story. Now, go at his pace. Don't be like a horse or a mule. Praise the Lord. He says, I will do what? Instruct you in the way you should go, step by step by step. Now, imagine the armies of the Lord as we are, all of us, every day receiving instruction from Him on every business venture, on every job you take, on every travel you make. Praise the Lord. You are receiving what? Instruction all the time, and you even ask for it. God, what are the instructions concerning this? What do I do about this? Now, somebody will come and kusomera for you a very powerful business like that man of God, and suddenly you don't want to hear God's instruction because you are like a horse. You've taken off and he cannot instruct you. But imagine now if somebody comes, no matter how exciting the opportunity, no matter how good it appears, you're going to sit down and say, what does the Lord say? What are the instructions concerning this thing? And then sometimes you say, wow, don't go there, he's lying. Everything there is fake. You receive the instruction one way. Either you receive it by not being comfortable about what this person is saying, even if it looks good, you receive it in a dream, but somehow you receive an instruction. Amen? Then now you don't come and start crying that they kufferad you, yet you are still born. Eh? And you thought you were all that. Praise the Lord. You thought you were what? Yeah. Now let us have Holy Communion. So now, when we're having Holy Communion here today, as we have Holy Communion here today, we are asking God to renew instruction. Amen? If there are any instructions that have not been followed, it's okay. You say, God, now your GPS redirect me back to where I'm supposed to be. Renewing instruction. Praise the Lord. Renewing what? Praise the Lord. Renewing what? Renewing what? Say, the Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you renew instruction and put me back on the way I'm supposed to go. Because your word says you will instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. And you will guide me with your eye. Don't forget that scripture. Your word says you will instruct me and teach me. Say it, say it. Say it loud. Your word says you will instruct me and teach me the way that I should go. And you will guide me with your eye. So now, starting today, I open my heart and I promise that I am open to instruction. Just give me instruction and I will follow it. Praise the Lord. Aren't you already happy? I can see things happening. I can already see things happening. Give out the Holy Communion. We go and enjoy our Friday. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine for this, the purpose of Holy Communion, the body and the blood of Jesus. And even in the ordinance that you set for us on the night in which you were betrayed, Lord Jesus, you took the bread before your disciples and broke it, and you said, take and eat this bread that is broken for me. Do it in remembrance of me. Now, as we receive of this bread of the body of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you purchased our health and that your body was broken so that ours might be whole. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, because we are whole and every part of our body is whole. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, because your body and our body are one. And we rebuke every sickness, every disease, every illness, every weakness in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And at the eating of this bread, we speak health upon each and every person in this congregation. We speak divine health, divine strength, divine youth upon each and every person in this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can partake of the bread. In like manner, you took the wine on that day and you gave it to your disciples and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The blood that ratifies everything that you purchased for us on the cross. And by it, we walk in victory, perpetual victory. We walk in victory, we walk in a blessing, walk in health, we walk in wealth. And all the blessings of the new covenant are ours. And even as we partake of this, we receive of all the wonderful blessings of the new covenant. The blessings that your blood purchased for us. And now as we receive of this, we believe that every need is met. In the name of Jesus, every need is met. And we believe that your spirit and our spirit commune as indeed we are one, according to your word, which says that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Now we receive of that great promise in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may drink him. Where is the other lady who was sick? Who was expecting? Who is expecting? Did she come today? Whom we prayed for? She didn't come. Okay. If you're sick here today, receive your healing. Receive your healing. Whatever it is you are sick of, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, there are specific things which the Lord is leading me about here. One of them is irregular and painful periods. If you are that person, just receive your healing here today and believe that it's not going to happen again. And they are going to be regular and normal. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And ulcers, if you have ulcers, receive today healing. You receive your healing here today. We expect you to come and testify next time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How many people are here for the first time? It's your first time to come here. What do you do? Eh? You're a physiotherapist. Eh, you bones and what, that sort of thing. Eh? Where do you work?
Hospital.
Kampala Hospital.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who else? What do you do?
I'm a student at KIU.
Student at KIU.
Yeah.
What do you want us to pray for you for? Anything.
And God to use me.
Okay. You want to be used of God. Okay. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Eh?
Amen.
Who else? Come. What do you do?
Sales manager at Mid Cycling.
Sales manager?
At Mid Cycling.
Cycling?
Yeah.
What do you sell?
We sell bikes.
Bikes?
Yeah.
Manigachuba or motorbikes?
No, it's sports bikes.
Sports bikes. You're a sales manager?
Yeah.
So what do you want us to pray for you?
Maybe some more control. Some more, maybe guidance. Job.
Okay. You stay standing.
I'm a real estate agent and I'm a forex trader.
Amen. Real estate?
Yes.
Are you ready to be instructed in your business by God?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. And you?
And I'm also doing forex trading.
Forex trading?
Yeah, but currently I'm unemployed.
Okay, currently unemployed. But you're doing forex trading. You're also doing forex trading?
Yes.
And what do you do?
I'm a caterer.
Caterer?
Yes.
Okay. And you're... If you want a job, tell us, we pray for a job.
I'm a credit officer, but I want to go back to accounts, like specifically what I studied.
Okay. So have you formulated what you want? What do you want? Don't tell me. But you know what you want. Okay, hold my hand. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Where do you cater from?
I work in Serere.
Serere. Hey, you're visiting Kampala or you stay here?
I visit my sister.
You came to visit your sister?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a job there?
Yes.
Okay. God bless you. And you, now you're forex trading, you. There are some other people who do forex trading here, but I don't want them to come out. But now, if you follow this instruction, if you be instructed, God is going to give you wonderful, wonderful images of the things you should do, and you'll make money. Amen. Are you ready to listen to instruction?
Yes. Last time I got a dream, I told about it. And we were making, it was a bullish market, but it was going down. And then...
It was a what market?
Okay. It was a buy, but then this buy was going down, which is contrary to what we do. Then, when I went to interface with a market, I said maybe the Lord was saying maybe I sell. And yes, according to the setup, it was supposed to be a sale, but eventually just... So I think, I realized I don't know how to interpret instructions.
Okay, God is going to give you that knowledge. You have to pray about them when you get them. I hope you've learned that today. Okay, you said you do what?
Sales,
eh?
Yeah.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, my promotion comes and you, an expansion, eh? Expansion. Still in sales, but no, I will now a bit about away from bikes. I something else. And are you married?
No.
Hmm?
No.
But you're seeing somebody.
Yes, yes.
Hmm. Okay. Serious or?
Serious.
Hey. Because there is a blessing there. No, let me tell you what. You and her somehow kuwata. There is a way you kuwata gana in a loop. What is kuwata gana in English? Yeah, okay. In a way that is going to. Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. For the first time in so long. No. Rika Bazinto Roshila Barazinta Roshia. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because this day, we walk in your precepts. And we shall love instruction and look out for instruction in the name of Jesus. And we thank you because your spirit will walk with us and will not leave us nor forsake us. And will guide us in the way that you want us to go, the way of prosperity in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.